So anyway, this is the presentation we gave on the 16th to the council, and I believe some of the ACAB members made it and some of the public as well. Essentially, this project started out in 2015. After we received a lot of citizen comments about just kind of the dangerous conditions down at this intersection. We were getting complaints about pedestrians not able to safely cross the intersection. We were getting complaints about the traffic stacking up on different legs of the intersection, especially Rainier Street and Martin Street. And so we started to take a look at, well, what could we do at this intersection to improve things? Oh, I need to also add that we were really starting to also feel the pressure from I-5 corridor. In the I-5 corridor, whenever there's an accident on Interstate 5, as many folks are aware, people try to cut through Steilacoom in order to get to Tacoma, University Place, Lakewood, places like that. And it's no secret that if I-5 is backed up, I can cut off a DuPont, come into Steilacoom, cut through. Well, for instance, I live in Faircrest, so I would cut through Chambers Creek Road up University Place and get home. So that started to occur too. We didn't have to turn on a radio to find out if there was a traffic accident on I-5. We just looked outside and started seeing the traffic volumes increase. So we took a look at the intersection using a traffic analysis level of service. That's where you grade the intersection, the different legs of the intersection, to evaluate what traffic is doing there and how long it's taking for traffic to move. That's a typical matrix used by traffic designers to evaluate intersections. We found out pretty quickly, no big surprise, that we were exhibiting a level of service F, especially on the Rainier Street leg. Traffic was backing up around the corner or up over the hill by the church, by the Steilacoom Community Church, formerly Oberlin Congregational Church there. And it was pretty bad. So we took a look at different options. And one of the options we took a look at was, maybe the cheapest option by far is to put a four-way stop in there with a northbound right turn. That improved things a little bit, but what we found out is that traffic really stacked up on Union Avenue when we modeled this option. And it also stacked up on both legs of Union Avenue and would really affect some of the intersections, including Lafayette Street and Lafayette Street to the north down by the ferry lanes. And it would also impact all the way back to Starling Street beyond on the northbound leg of Union Avenue. So we took a look at a roundabout option. That's the one that proved to be the best option in terms of level of service. That provides everybody an opportunity to move through the intersection. And especially in times of heavy traffic, allows for a minimum amount of stacking on the different legs of the intersection. We also looked at a regular four-way stop. That proved to be pretty ineffective, but it's certainly the least expensive. And we even looked at a traffic signal. And I was surprised by this. A traffic signal actually did not provide as high a level of service as a roundabout would. Kind of an added thing, given the geometry of this intersection, the signal would be pretty difficult for a ferry loading lane situation that we've got there too. So once we checked the data and made sure that the roundabout gave us the best level of service, we started looking harder at that. We actually created a concept design and applied to the State Transportation Improvement Board for funding as early as 2014, and then again in 2016, as we were working our way through this. And then again, we applied in 2020, and eventually we succeeded in obtaining some transportation improvement board funding to go along with funding that we had secured by working with Pierce County. We essentially were showing Pierce County that, hey, we could add some capacity to the ferry loading lanes through this project, and asked for their participation as well. And I have to hats off to County Council Member Doug Richardson and Mayor Ron Lucas for working together to obtain some additional support from Pierce County in that regard. The Pierce County identified some TIF funds that were available for these types of projects, and I won't go into the details of that. I'll save that for the county. But we started cobbling together the funding at that time. We started looking at what we could provide in terms of reserves, funding from reserves, and cobbled together the county funding and then the town funding and then eventually TIB funding to complete the funding package to be able to build this project. We actually started design back in 2019, early 2019, the formal design process, and continued with that through 2019. We started to talk with the county on a concept basis in late January, early February of 2020. We developed 60% plans by August of 2020 and sent those out to the county, and also obtained comments from the town. We started to take a look at it at a 60% design at that time. We noticed we needed some right-of-way, so we started some negotiations with the Berry Dock, that's formerly called the Espresso by the Bay, I believe, about obtaining some additional property from that parcel and some property from our park parcel to be able to fit the design into the intersection. We also had to do some design changes, and this is not a round, perfectly round roundabout because of some of those design changes. It's a little bit oblong, but if you look at the intersection there, you can kind of see why that has to be. The intersection's a little oblong in the way it's constructed, so we've had to make some design changes along the way there. There's a picture of the design. We've got a better picture of it that Tawny's going to share. But yeah, like I said, the design started in 2019. We've been coordinating the project with Pierce County folks and obtaining their comments along the way. One of the objectives is to add capacity to the ferry loading lanes by closing off Lafayette Street so that there's not through traffic going through that section of the ferry loading lanes anymore. That's not only going to avoid some of the traffic hazards that have been occurring, but it's also going to provide some additional capacity. And then we're going to take away one of the auxiliary driveway down by the ferry dock there and be able to add some capacity there. We're also going to formalize some of the overflow parking, kind of that informal gravel parking shoulder area on Martin Street. We're going to clean that up and be able to pave part of that out so that that becomes a more formalized overflow area for ferry patrons that are waiting to be able to enter the ferry loading lanes for next boat or the second boat down line or whatever the case may be. Construction's expected to start this spring. We're trying to stage the construction work to minimize the impacts. One of the ideas that the designers came up with, Gray and Osborne came up with, is we're going to try to plane down the existing roadway rather than just destroying it. That'll help create a hard surface for people to get over and into the ferry lanes while the construction process is taking place. If we start construction this spring, it'll probably last through the summer, and we're hoping to be able to complete this project by late September, early October of 2021. It's kind of an ideal year for the town for a couple of reasons. Number one, now we have TIB grant funding, and they are hot to trot for us to spend their money. We're not going to be able to get reimbursement from TIB for a while, but they still are trying to deliver projects as quickly as possible. The other added advantage in doing it this year is that we're not going to have the typical, well, we probably won't have the typical festivities in town around the 4th of July, which means that this intersection, which is normally impacted heavily during the 4th of July holiday, would be less impacted in terms of the parade route and some of the impacts that normally occur on the 4th of July. We do, however, recognize that the Anderson Island folks will still be busy on the 4th of July holiday, and we're building into the contract provisions to make sure that folks can still get into the ferry loading lanes and in that overflow area during those holidays. So, I guess the short, maybe the longer answer is that we just think the timing is right. The funding's in place. We think we can construct this with minimal impact to the islanders. We will get you into the ferry loading lanes during construction of this project. I can tell you that. The nice thing about the ferry loading lanes, and I'll be honest with you, because they are, that's traffic that is waiting for a ferry, we have the advantage of being able to move those folks into the ferry loading lanes at various times between boats and things like that. So I think you're going to find that we're going to be able to get you into the ferry loading lanes and queued up in plenty of time for the next ferry as this project goes forward. We understand that's important to keep on top of, and we're going to work hard to make sure that happens. Well, that's about all I've got, Dave.
Mark, thank you very much. Toby, are you there? Don't see where Toby is responding. How about,
I believe Toby is in as an attendee as opposed to somebody moved him. There you go.
Are you there, Toby?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can, yes, thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, I am here. I just...
Great. According to our agenda, you're going to talk briefly about the TIF fund and the county partnership with respect to the roundabout.
Sure, happy to do that.
Dave, if I could... Could we give Tani an opportunity? Was she on the agenda next as being able to maybe give some?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you were, when you said you were done, you were done.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tani to.
We'll come back to Toby.
Okay. If I could give Tani an opportunity to just talk about specific elements of the design, that would be handy.
Okay.
Thanks. Great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Would it be helpful for me to share my screen so we could actually see an exhibit of the roundabout a little closer?
Are you able to do that?
Only if you make her the host.
Well, I would have to unmake Mark the host and then make Annie the host. let me find Mark first.
Make it happen.
Working on it.
Andy, is that the long strip that Mark had sent out?
Yeah, but I think it would be nice because I could zoom in, so we're kind of centered
I've got Mark as a host, and it doesn't seem to want to let me click on him for some reason.
Thank you.
Ellen, can you click on Mark to see if you can take the host off of him?
I don't see where it's giving me the option to unhost myself. So
I don't either.
Somebody else controlling that?
So while you were figuring that out, Mark, I did have a quick question. You had mentioned about during the construction and all of this that there's going to be people helping mitigate traffic. Who is that and where does that come from? Is that the ferry people? Is that flaggers?
Yeah, typically those would be flaggers from the contractor who's building the project. They're expected to provide traffic control and make that happen.
Heather, you went out of turn.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know if you saw the chat. So sorry.
Hey, Mark, go ahead and highlight Tawny and see if you can make, and then the click button to see if you can make her the host in lieu of you.
Give that a try. Go ahead. I'm not getting anywhere. I can't seem to get it to highlight.
Oh, I'm the host. Yay.
I'm sorry. I can.
Good job. Thank you. Some of us are Zoom dumb.
Okay. Can you see my screen now?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So this is just the same exhibit that was shared at that meeting, the council meeting, but I can zoom in a little bit and look at things if people have questions. So I'll just give a quick rundown on the design. This is a single lane roundabout, with the exception that there is this also this free right turn off of Union onto Rainier. And as Mark was saying, that it's not completely a circle. Part of it has a diameter that's 104 feet. Part of it has a diameter that's 94 feet. But the width of this circulating lane is 19 feet wide. It was originally designed so that a bus 40 vehicle could make the right turns off of all the legs. But as the design progressed, larger and larger vehicles are now able to make those movements. So in general, straight through movements, Union onto Union, the largest vehicle that can make that movement is a WB67, which really is the largest vehicle that we ever model. And that same movement is allowed and can be made from Union onto Martin Street. And then in terms of the right turns, from northbound Union onto Rainier, the largest vehicle that can make that turn is a WB67. Again, that's a very large truck. And the other right-hand turns on the design are now WB50s. With the exception of from Martin Street onto Union, it's a bus 45. But you guys are probably interested in what kind of vehicle can get into the ferry lanes and from where. So this design is being modified based on comments from the county and the town. We're kind of gonna narrow this median here so that WB50s can now get into this, into the ferry lanes. A WB50 means wheelbase 50, so that's a pretty large truck. In addition to that, a motorhome pulling a boat, a passenger car pulling a trailer, all those kind of recreational vehicles should be able to get in into the ferry lanes as well. In terms of U-turns, WB50 vehicles can make U-turns through the roundabout. Those were the main things that I was thinking that you guys would be interested in.
Tawny, can you kind of go over maybe where some of the mountable features are?
Yeah, so I'll zoom in a little bit. We'll just look at one of the approaches close up. So these are called splitter islands right here. And the forward part of the splitter island is going to have a mountable curb on each one of the approaches to the roundabout. So that means if for some reason a driver kind of missed, they can still mount and drive over the curb on these splitter islands. Same with a truck. This curb here is also mountable. And this inner part of this part of the circle that I'm showing you here is all mountable. And that's really designed as a truck apron, it's called. And it's for the back rig of the truck to come up and onto this inner circle to get into a ferry lane or to get out of the roundabout. Passenger cars will more stay within the gray area, the asphalt area, when they're making their movements through the roundabout. These are the proposed locations for the crosswalks, and there's a cut through island here that is ADA accessible. And you see these little symbols here, and those are those rectangular rapid flashing beacons that will help pedestrians draw attention to vehicles to stop so that they can safely cross. And what's nice about this is not only is it, rectangular rapid flashing beacons are very effective for getting compliance on vehicles stopping for pedestrians. And the nice thing about these splitter islands is they're sized to provide a refuge for pedestrians. So if you only can get this far, you click the button again and then you can go the rest of the way. You don't have to go all the way across in one movement. Anything else you want me to add there, Mark?
Well, so Tawny, so maybe we can look at maybe a truck coming down Union Avenue and trying to get into the ferry lane. If they wanted to mount into the white portion of the roundabout, they could. What if they absolutely missed altogether and ran through the middle of the roundabout?
Okay. I'm going to look at, so I've got a design exhibit that shows the different vehicle trackings for different movements. So I'm looking at northbound Union going into the ferry lane. So we can look at these exhibits 8, 12, and 14. So bear with me here.
Okay.
Okay, oops, page 8. Let me get this zoomed back down a little. All right. So just a caution to you now, north is to our right. So this way is north. So here's a WB45, that's kind of a size of a bus, coming along, and you can see that a part of its tracking is going up on the truck apron, but then it's able to get into the ferry lane entrance without rolling over the top of any of these splitter island curbs. Now we'll look at a slightly larger vehicle doing the same thing. So this is a WB50. So again, part of its trailer is going over the truck apron. And now the way this was originally designed at our 90% submittal, part of the trailer would also run over part of this median. But as I said, we're gonna widen this so that that doesn't happen. Or I guess narrow the median, widen the ferry lane entrance so that that rolling over the curb doesn't happen for this vehicle.
Okay.
So I mean, I've got lots of different movements here we could look at if people are interested.
Maybe the other one that's important is to look at Rainier Street.
Okay, hold on. So this is a WB50 coming down Rainier Street. In this case, part of the tractor itself, the driving part of the truck, has to go over the truck apron. And then it can get into the ferry lanes. And again, we're narrowing up this median so it won't roll over this curb here. But that's doable. And we found that we believe this is probably the largest vehicle that can make its way down Stilicum Boulevard through those curves at Puyallup without hitting that center median that's in those S curves. So I don't think that there are a lot of trucks that are larger than this that would be coming this way. I think the super large trucks are probably coming down Union.
Yeah. Okay. Can we go back to the design, the overall design?
Yep.
Now, what if somebody ran over the very center of the island?
Okay. So the very center of the island, we've shown a hatch that looks like rocks. And that's really what is proposed to be, is this big rounded river rock. So if a big truck were to just, or a car, to run over the top of it, they actually can do it. So this is actually a rolled curb here. And the rock itself can support a vehicle. So all of that is doable. It probably wouldn't feel very nice, and they might knock a sign down the way these signs are positioned. So it's possible.
Okay. I wouldn't want that to happen very often.
No,
that's kind of my point. But, you know, if it happened.
If it happens, seems like the worst thing that happens is maybe a sign gets taken out. And we can look at moving these signs a little farther in.
Yeah, and we might do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because really, the roundabout itself is not going to have any features in the center of it. I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
Is it's not going to have, you know, a fountain or statues or anything like that. So our ability to be flexible is you know, much greater with this design. We're not trying to make a landmark or an art exhibit out of this, but more a functional roundabout that serves vehicle traffic and pedestrians. So yeah, we're hoping this design will accommodate that. And really, we still have some flexibility, like Tani said. You know, if we need to slide the signs in a little bit, they're certainly going to be visible. I think we can probably do that and accommodate even a larger vehicle if we had to.
Right. And the way the illumination design is designed is that all of those poles are on the back of the sidewalks or behind the curb, so they're not in the central island.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tani.
You're welcome. And now I've got to get my hosting up.
It was sent to you.
Okay.
It was sent to your wave.acab email.
Hey, Tani.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. This is Jim Cook.
Sure.
Since we're in this phase of it, I mean, I don't know how much further, but I mean, it's appropriate for the turnabout. One is what you folks are you going to crown that turnabout for drainage? I'm thinking, you know, about the rains and stuff, and how is that going to be diverted?
Yeah, we do. We've got a nice grading plan put together, so everything's going to drain well off of the roundabout. I'm pretty sure it's a 2% cross slope, just kind of coming around.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. And the other question I have is, It concerns all those crosswalks. Mm-hmm. When, you know, when a, let's say a bunch of people, because you've got a restaurant right there and you've got some and you've got some people that are coming out from the residential area. And if those lights go on, will the people that are coming from the different areas be able to stop? And what's that going to cause as far as congestion?
Well, that's the idea. We're actually attempting to enhance our pedestrian safety at this. That's a big part of this project. Right now, folks have to try to cross that wide intersection with no controls and no protection. And so a big component of this is to provide that protection for our pedestrians. And we're the rectangular rapid flashing beacons are designed to provide that warning to motorists. It is going to stack up. If a pedestrian wants to come across, vehicles are expected to stop. But that's already the law of the land. And so we're hoping that will only be enhanced. We recognize the impacts that will be created. I mean, folks like to sit in the ferry lanes and they like to visit the restaurant and they like to visit the Berry Dock for ice cream and things like that. And we want that to continue.
Can we hold our questions until Mark's people get done and until after Toby has had an opportunity to speak, and then we'll go through with each ACAB member. We'll get 5 minutes to ask questions.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
You want me to give the hosting back to somebody?
Are you done then, Tanny?
Unless we want to look at the exhibit some more as we answer questions.
If you can leave it up if you want while once we get into the question things, if that might be helpful.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Okay, we'll just do that. I'll mute myself.
Okay, so is that cover what you wanted to do, Mark?
Yes, it does.
Okay, then Toby, if you want to speak to the TIF partnership, briefly, and then we'll start with the ACAB members asking questions.
Sure. Yeah, this will be brief. So the county developed a traffic impact fee program back in 2007, and that was to basically, like say, have the traffic impact fees as a way to for people that are building homes or commercial businesses to contribute to traffic improvements across the county, rather than having to develop their own impact analysis and go through SEPA. So we've had that in place for quite some time now, and it's been working. There was to be able to collect a traffic impact fee, you have to have a project in that traffic zone, that transportation analysis zone, TAZ, what we call them. And the Anderson Island is a traffic analysis zone, or actually both Anderson and Ketron are one zone. And so there had to be a project to collect against. And so the project that was added back in 2007 was generically just called Ferry Lane Loading Capacity Project. So that's existed for 13 years by now, actually almost 14 years by now. And we really didn't have any specific project that, you know, was coming to fruition. But one of the things we've been talking about with the town of Steilacoom for, well, I've been here 16 years and we've been talking about it pretty much ever since, and maybe before that even, was the closing of Lafayette and the driveways that are to the north of that, or at least one of them, if we could do that, to be able to add capacity, storage capacity. And so that's what you see in this project, is you're gonna see Lafayette Street closed, so there's no through traffic. That's got one is a capacity opportunity, so we can get an additional 9 vehicles approximately in that staging area right there. And so basically then we'll have one boat's worth of capacity, basically from Lafayette up to the, you know, where the ferry loading lanes end. And then we'll have about 30 or so spots, 30 to 40 spots that are in, you know, for the next boat, basically. And so it does add capacity. We believe that will help us with our efficiency in terms of loading. So that will help, and that's why it qualifies, because traffic impact fee projects have to add capacity to a roadway. The county ferry system is a roadway by definition in the state of Washington. So this meets all the criteria for that. And so I'm not sure I know which driveway we're closing. Bonnie, you probably could tell us, or Mark, but one of the driveways that's there, we're going to be closing as well. I assume it's the auxiliary and not the main one to the house, but I want to make sure I'm not misspeaking there, which driveway is being closed.
Yeah, but that's correct.
The auxiliary one that's to the furthest to the north.
Camera's on.
Yeah.
Camera's on. Hang on.
So anyway,
something just happened on my phone.
So that's what we should be able to accomplish with this. And so the council decided to add this particular, to add to the town's project, which included these capacity improvements that we've been talking about for about a decade. They decided to add the funding from the traffic impact fees collected on Anderson Island to this particular project because of the help it would give. It also does one really significant thing that you've all experienced as well, and that is, and you know, I'll admit, first time I drove through this intersection, I did the same thing. It's like there's some people get confused and they'll actually turn left and go into the ferry loading lanes if they're empty. And in fact, when we were out there on Friday, somebody did it right in front of us. And so it's not uncommon to have people, unfortunately, get confused and drive and enter the ferry loading lanes, typically at Lafayette. And so that will be eliminated. That will no longer happen. And that's a good thing as well from a safety point of view, as well as just a efficiency and capacity point of view. So that's what I can tell you about this project.
Toby, some of that stuff is what we've been talking about in ACAB for probably 2 years.
Yeah. Agreed.
And was planned for this spring and summer to be done anyway.
Yeah, as part of this project. Like I say, we condition the county's participation on these improvements.
You put them together. Yeah. Okay. Let's let the ACAB members have 5 minutes each to ask further questions. You can ask either of Mark or of Toby, or Toby can ask someone else to answer if he so chooses. And I'm going to take my 1 minute of my 5 minutes, and my question is, when we were at your meeting a couple of weeks ago, when this was presented, there was some discussion about the fact that the much larger vehicles, such as bringing trusses over and so on, would not be able to enter the ferry loading lanes through this roundabout. And no solution was proffered by anybody about how that was going to be dealt with. And I'm just wondering if there is a solution in mind. And if not, is that something that you guys can look into for us?
Yeah, let me take a shot at that if I can.
Go.
That it's kind of what I was alluding to when I was talking to Tawny about what if a truck ran right over the top of the island. So that's not our, you know, that's not our desire. That's not ideal, but it could happen. And I think we're talking about a WB67. And that is your largest semi, basically, that's allowed on the highway. And it would come down through Union Avenue. It would never really come down Rainier Street because right. of other restrictions up in the Puyallup Street curve. So it would come down from Union Avenue and could run over the edges of the island to get in. Alternatively, a truck that big, we already see them staging down at the Department of Corrections loading lane down on Commercial Street. Or they could also load in front of the ferry loading lanes. Tawny, can you scoot back down to the other end there? The other? Yeah. In that area in front of the loading lanes in order to board the ferry. I was talking with ferry operations about that, and those folks already need to make special arrangements with the ferry. And so when they do, I was talking with Steve Caputo about possibly coordinating those larger loads in such a way so that one of these other areas could be used. Or if all else fails, they would navigate through the roundabout to get into the ferry loading lanes.
Gotcha. Thank you. Okay, I'm just going to go down the list here. Ellen, you've got 5 minutes. Ask whatever questions you have.
I don't really have any questions at this time, so I will pass.
You're ceding your time back.
Yes.
Eric? Eric Cunningham? Are you there, Eric?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry. Yes, I do have a...
You got 5 minutes.
Oh, good. Thank you. So what is the length of the truck that we can take? What is the limit? I think I understood is WB67. And the other item is it seems like you're taking out some ferry parking with doing this new design. In, you know, having the island or whatever, how exactly is it adding capacity?
I can answer that.
So.
Go ahead,
Dave, if you want to answer it.
We just talked about how that would happen. They're going to eliminate the driveways up and down, basically up and down the loading lanes, which Toby, tell me how many spaces that added or how many?
It's approximately a dozen spaces. So if you look at closing Lafayette, and so you pick up the space in Lafayette, and you also pick up about three spaces where we close the driveway at the very end. And so it's essentially, depending on how close people park to each other, it's essentially a dozen spots. So you probably do lose, you know, one or maybe two at the end up where it is, but you pick up a dozen at least. So you're probably net at least 10 spots is our estimation.
Net 10 increase.
Yes.
Okay.
I would add that even above those spots, we're adding some additional formalized capacity on Martin Street as well. I mean, above and beyond what Toby just indicated.
That's for the overflow.
Correct.
Right.
Gotcha. But it's capacity.
I hear you. Go ahead, Eric.
And what was the length of the longest truck? Was it the WB67?
That is the longest truck we were talking about, yes.
But what is the length of a, you know, one of the double rock trucks that come on, or what's a, is that the final length? I mean, what are we talking here? I guess you could say.
Maybe I'd ask Tawny to explain what a WB62 and a WB67 is.
Yeah, on these exhibits that I had, we printed out the lengths of the trucks here. So let me find the WB67. I want to say it's 85 feet, but I'm just, that's off the top of my head. Oh, let me go to the top, actually. I'm getting there.
Okay.
Okay, here we come. We're going. Here we go. Okay, I was hoping this would overall length 73.5 feet for the WB67.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
There's also, I have one other question about the plan for loading during the construction of this thing. Mm-hmm. It seems kind of like a big aspect to people who live on the island. How is that going to work exactly?
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to make it happen. I mean, we're going to get you into the loading lanes. The contractor is going to be tasked with providing adequate traffic control to make that happen. Now, there may be some staging, extra staging that takes place in other areas such as Martin Street. But the nice thing about it, again, is that we're basically talking about folks who will be queuing up for the next boat. So we're not going to be in a big rush. We're going to have at least a one boat's capacity in the existing ferry lanes. And so we'll just be queuing up for the next boat, which makes it kind of nice on traffic control because they'll be able to move you in slowly to queue up for that next ferry.
I can talk a little bit about some of the things we've been thinking about in terms of staging the work. And that is, it's a little hard to see on this scale. Let me zoom in a little bit and give you an example. So the existing curb line on Union is here. It's kind of shown in a light gray line work. So all this area here is widening. And so we're asking the contractor to think about widening out the areas that are not paved now that will be paved in the future. And so that allows traffic to continue to use the paved areas while he's widening out these additional areas to be paved. And then traffic can shifted to those widened areas when he's going to move to the next section. So there's probably like 8 different work zones that we kind of envision the contractor will have a chance to look at those and fine tune them, but it's all with the intent to keep traffic moving through the intersection to the maximum extent possible.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, Eric's time is up. Tiffany had to leave to attend a vaccine meeting, and Tiffany was one of the instrumental people in putting that vaccine clinic that some of us enjoyed Saturday, or Friday and Saturday. So she's off working on that now. Jim Cook, you got 5 minutes.
Thank you, Dave. A couple questions. Tawny, you already answered the one about the what happens on the rain runoff, and you said there's like a 2% grade, right?
On that? Yeah. So it's
the other question I have is concerning who's the lead agency, Mark, or Toby? Who's actually the lead on this construction?
We are the town of Stolicum.
Okay. Okay, because the other question, which Toby let us know, is that there's planning on a major construction resurfacing of the parking lot during that time frame over on Anderson Island. So, you know, conceivably there could be a lot more construction vehicles coming over. So I just, I don't know if Toby's coordinated that with you, Mark, or what have you.
We haven't yet. That's a two-day project in August. So we will be coordinating, and we'll be coordinating with our contractor as to when they bring their asphalt trucks over. We may stage that again where we use the ferries. And we'll use the off-peak direction perhaps early in the morning or something like that. So we haven't exactly organized that particular delivery of the asphalt yet. We are working with Pierce Transit to come up with a way to shuttle people back and forth. And we have several ideas that we're going to talk to you all about when we get closer to say where is a better place to park for those 2 days while we do go ahead and repave the parking lot. So we'll be in more coordination. Again, we view it as going to be, it'll be a couple days, and we'll probably do it in a way that we'll try to minimize it, in terms of, we won't be doing it on the weekend or something like that. It'll be, we'll look at, see what's the best time to actually do that work and try to make sure that we minimize the impact on everyone and provide you alternatives.
Okay. I really appreciate it. I like the design, by the way. A lot of thoughtfulness went through there, especially blocking off that Lafayette access. That definitely gains us more capacity. So really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're done, Jim?
Yes, I go ahead and turn my remaining 2 minutes over to you, Dave.
Thank you. Larry, you got 5 minutes.
I'm not going to need 5 minutes. I just wanted to, because I got most of my questions, which had to do with vehicles being able to get through the proposed roundabout. And I pretty well had all my questions answered. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. Wade? Wade, you got 5 minutes.
Wade, you need to unmute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
There we go.
Hello. Okay. I don't know if you guys already covered it or not, but the overflow lines going back down, what is that, Martin Street?
Yeah.
Which side of the street is it going to be on? And are you going to, and did you decide to pave that area? And if you do it down like Martin Street on the on the downhill side, would it be really impractical for these non-professional drivers pulling these Winnebagos or these boats or whatnot to try to make that turn to go around? I think I asked somebody the other day, and they said that the curbs on the island in the middle of the roundabout are the sloping ones, so not a 90 degree one. Can you talk just a little bit about those?
Yeah, let me try to answer that if I can. This is Mark with the town of Stolicum. The overflow parking on Martin Street would remain in the same general area as it does today. It would be paved, however, instead of parking in the gravel, so that'll help. When people leave the Martin Street overflow area, they would be asked to come into the roundabout and go around the roundabout and into the ferry lanes. Although you are correct, the roundabout would contain what we call a mountable curb or a truck apron that would allow even vehicles that are towing a large trailer or a motorhome should be able to navigate.
Okay, I have problems with my internet connection. So, which side of Martin Street is the overflow going to line up on?
It would be the south side of Martin Street, where the little hand is showing right now.
The same side that it is now, Wade.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because that'd be a lot easier to make the turn than to have us on the downhill side.
Yeah, we really don't want that either. We don't want people to go in the opposing lane of travel, essentially.
Is there any way that you can get? I know this is going to sound stupid, but the people who live along there wouldn't think it's stupid if you put do not park or do not wait, do not line, you know, things along so they're not blocked in or out of their driveway.
Yeah, we're going to have to enhance the signage along there and provide that. But, you know, the nice thing is with pavement there, we'll be able to do some pavement marking that I think will help.
Yeah, that's what I've seen that at other places, like going down into a Muckleteel Ferry. They've got that so that nobody blocks the driveways.
Yeah, good idea.
I'm done. Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you, Wade. Heather, you're up.
Okay, lots of questions. I'm going to ask them all, and I don't know who answers what. So in regards to overflow, since we were just talking about that and the cars coming in from Martin Way, since they are almost last in the roundabout, is there something for the RFP or the current ferry workers to load that traffic first before all the people coming down the hill on Rainier load automatically, or Union load before all the people that might have been waiting for 2 hours?
Well, maybe you can help me out, but I think that this area on Martin Street is for vehicles that are like the next boat down the line, right?
Right.
Two boats. So I think we've got time.
But what happens is the ferry lanes start moving, 1, 2, and 3, and then they start opening up. And now with the roundabout, all the traffic flowing from Rainier and Union would have access or the right-of-way before the backup on Martin to go into the free-flowing ferry lane.
So are you talking about line cutting?
I'm talking about if the people are lined up on Martin and the traffic is flowing down Rainier and down Union. How are the people who have been waiting 2 hours on Martin going to get into the ferry lines first before those two other lanes of traffic, since they've been waiting 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know necessarily that the town, I mean, you're talking about kind of an issue that has been exhibiting more and more presence in the ferry loading lanes. And that's talking about, you know, lane cutting I just don't think this project is designed to address that issue.
I understand. It's just a concern the way that it's being designed. And again, since we're doing an RFP for the ferry, I don't know if that's something above the scale of this meeting, but it's in the next RFP because we need to consider that moving forward. Or if the flaggers that are going to be there this summer are going to be responsible for all that, or how all this is working. But I just want to put it on the table that it is a concern. Secondly, the crosswalk on, sorry, for some reason my screen went really small. The crosswalk and the roundabout on, sorry, I'm losing my time. From the buried dock to the park. Since we're closing Lafayette Street, I was just wondering if there was any talk about moving that down, since it also seems like all of Union Avenue was losing its parking for the bars and restaurants. Do we have any parking further down the street going to the old, keep going down the street to the ferry. You're going to the ferry. I was just wondering where all the parking on the right is, how many spots we have left now. Is that two parking and two handicap for the restaurant and bar in Barry?
The existing parking would not change. The only parking we lose is up the road. Tawny's doing a great job here, right there where she's circling with the hand.
So those spots on Union, those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are still available for parking?
Yes.
Okay, great. It looked like the way that the drawing was, we lost those. So, okay, great. Thank you.
But we are sacrificing some parking as part of this project, right where Tawny's circling right now.
Gotcha.
Okay, isn't that where the other park is with the monument that's moving? Or am I lost?
Yes. Okay. That's across the street from Perkins Park.
Okay. So we have a couple of projects over on the island. One of them is rebuilding a road with those big trucks and rocks that have been coming over. We have the parking lot and line project on the island side. And now we have this on this side. Did we get a timeline yet from somebody on, because I believe I heard spring through summer, hoping to be done September to October. But I mean, is that like we're going to be starting in the next 2 weeks? Because we also have the ramp project that goes through April. So we're just trying to get an idea of all of these timelines.
Toby is.
And I'd like to hold my time.
Yeah, we are scheduled to start our project. We're actually going to sign contracts in, hopefully, I mean, ideally, April 18th. Notice to proceed would start May 3rd. The construction window actually starts May 17th, and it's got 100 working days. That's 140 calendar days, with a project closeout scheduled for October 4th. So yes, it would be all summer.
Okay, so we have that. Please get the timeline on the deck repairs or the ramp repairs.
Someone else is probably better suited to answer that, but in talking with ferry operations, I believe that's going to be completed before our project commences.
Okay, because that's through April, I believe, right? Okay.
Yeah, we're starting on the ramp repair actually this week, should be this week. We start on the ramp repair at mostly at night, and then we'll be done plenty of time before this project starts. And then we do have the paving lot project, parking lot project, excuse me, repaving in August, but it's only a couple days during this project. So we think that we'll be just fine as far as coordinating our ramp repair project with this one.
And Toby, you and Randy are working on getting us a little lined out time frame of all of the various projects that we can forewarn the public.
Yeah, actually, there's posters. I thought the posters are already on the ferry. I gave them to the ferry workers. They had a poster that showed all the different timelines of these things.
Can somebody get that to us in writing?
It's a poster. It'll be out there. Yes.
Can someone get something of that information to me in writing so that ACAB can get it out through our means of advertising?
Sure.
Okay, and then my last question was in regards to the project on the island side. I've yet to hear from anybody in regards to the passenger pickup loading area. No. And I'm just wondering when I might be hearing from that department or those individuals.
That's not part of this discussion. I appreciate the question, and we should go back after that, but that's not, has nothing to do with the roundabout.
I completely concur. I apologize for that. Okay, so we have the August 2-day project for the repaving, and then the rebuilding of the road. Is that also on the island side this summer?
I think we're still acquiring right-of-way for that one. So depending on when we get that right-of-way acquired, then we'll be able to finish that.
Okay, so we're looking at 140 days on this side and then only a couple of days on the island side.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Rick?
Yeah, Dave. Thank you for the time. Couple things. First of all, I'd like to compliment the folks who put this design together. There's obviously a lot of thought and expertise that went into it, and it's much more elaborate than what I was expecting. I especially like the what I would call the satellite islands on the four streets leading into the roundabout itself. I do have a question on some signage. The specific ones I'm wondering about are giving people, especially new people, direction to for the ferry lane as opposed to maybe heading north on Union. And another one is the opportunity for a U-turn coming south on Union and doing a tight U-turn into the ferry lanes. This design looks even more inviting than what's there now. And I know there's a sign there that says no U-turns, but my guess is it is going to be too tempting for people, especially in small cars like what I have. But anything else that you can add in terms of signage? I see what's on the streets, the paint, the crosswalk, the directional arrows, and I see a couple of stop signs in there. But is there anything else that would be added in terms of signage?
Well, there's going to be a lot of signage. We're going to do our best to erect, you know, this a lot of different signage to tell people where to go and what to do. And we'll probably even tweak that signage, you know, given some experience with the roundabout. There might be some need for some additional signage after we test it out a little bit. As to your question about the U-turn possibility into the roundabouts from or into the ferry lane from southbound Union Avenue coming up and hanging in, a tight one in, you know, that's kind of where we're stuck. We can address the U-turn possibilities by tightening up that lane and widening the island, but then it limits your ability to get a large truck in there. And so we kind of have gotten to a point here where we're trying to fight competing desires here.
Okay, so it sounds like there will likely be a no U-turn sign.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to obstruct it.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to do it with signing.
Yeah, because every time we try to tighten it up to prevent the U-turn, then we prohibit certain truck movements from the island area.
Right. Okay, that's all I had. Again, great design.
Thanks, Rick. Jacob?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. And thanks everybody for the great presentation and display of the design. It's clear and I guess my question is directed more towards Pierce County, and I apologize in advance if this is a dumb question, but it concerns the TIF money, the Transportation Improvement improvement fund. And the way that I understand it is that it's for improving the capacity of transportation systems. And I think, you know, some Islanders might be under the impression that you know, improving the capacity of the transportation is more like, you know, you think about improving the ferry capacity via, you know, adding ferry runs or something like that. And I guess my question is just, maybe it would go a long way towards kind of, you know, making people less bothered about it if those TIF funds can't be used, you know, for ferry capacity anyway, and that it's, you know, fine to use it for expanding the lane capacity. So I guess just any more clarity about the, you know, the use of TIF funds would be appreciated.
Sure, and that's a good question, Jacob. There's no dumb question there at all. That's a good question, and it's one that does require a little bit more explanation. That the one limitation when you look at state law about impact fees is they have to be used for essentially physical improvements of capacity. So, I mean, you could use them theoretically to build a larger vessel, but of course we wouldn't have near that kind of money if you've got a few hundred thousand dollars. And so so they can't be used for maintenance and operations. So they couldn't be used for operational costs like adding extra run, because again, it's not a physical improvement, it's just a service improvement. So this is the closest capacity. You know, if you can essentially add capacity to the loading lanes and make loading easier and make loading more succinct, then it does add to now, you know, we can get more vehicles across in a more expeditious way with less, you know, waiting, perhaps if we can keep to our schedule. So that's kind of it honestly was a little bit of a stretch, you know, with, you know, the normally when you think of traffic impact fees, you're looking at, you know, widening Canyon Road, or you're looking at building a new traffic signal or something like that. And with the ferry system, since there aren't those kind of capacity improvement needs on the island, no congested roadways that fall below lower levels of service, this was the closest capacity improvement that we could come up with to put into the program at all. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been any projects available at all. So hope that answers it.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Okay. No further questions from me.
Thanks, Jacob. Kristen? Kristen Kennedy. Is your mic on? Did we lose Kristen? I think maybe we did.
Her name's not on the list of panelists right now.
I don't see her. Okay, well, then Ellen, if you would unmute Bill Spears. I think he was the first person to raise his hand early on. And then if you have other folks at him, Bill would get 5 minutes. And then if you have other folks that have raised their hands in order, we would unmute them to have 5 minutes as well.
We have 7 people.
Okay.
And is Bill Spears, is that CS, C Spears?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
That's me. That's my wife. Am I there?
You're there.
We hear you.
Okay.
Go, Bill.
Well, I learned a whole lot tonight, and I'm really pleased at how it's going. In some ways, it's kind of laborious, this type of meeting. But there's a couple things. I'd like to get some more information from Tani, and we can do that offline, just copies of some of the material that was presented tonight with the truck movements and all that. And So if I can do that, that'd be great. And the other information is sort of related to this, but one way we can help with this whole ferry system is to provide some more opportunities for walk-ons. And Stellicum, quite some time ago, well, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, whatever it is, decided that they would not permit new leasing of or renting of parking spaces on private property. I think some people are grandfathered in, but if they were to reinstate that, there's probably some people that would walk on that ferry and be willing to park their cars so they wouldn't jam up the ferry so much. It'd be better to do that maybe than trying to create more parking lots. Also, being an experienced ferry rider, when we come down the ferry line, my wife usually checks the video for the ferry to see if it's overloaded or what's going on, and we make some decisions. But if there was some sort of advanced warning system before you get down the hill there, maybe even up close to the Fort Lewis boundary, that could let people know, electronic system that says the ferry line is overloaded, move to the detour route, and then they could be assigned to go around the block and get in the end of that overflow lot instead of trying to go around the roundabout, see the ferry lines close or fall, then they go down that street there and then you have to make a U-turn in somebody's driveway or whatever to get in the ferry line, overflow line. If they could be directed around the block to get in right into that overflow lane, that'd be helpful. And then also, our church has this AM radio station that has a limited distance it works for, but if you could have that available like the highway system does, you know, kind of a warning thing comes on, says, you know, there's a ferry delay because of blah, blah, blah for 2 hours, then maybe people decide they'll go do some more shopping or something or have lunch. So rather than waiting in the overflow line over there for a long time, maybe they'll go do something else and chill out for a little bit and then come back. So if there's some way of controlling those things from the ticket office down there, that'd be extremely helpful, I think, because as you're approaching that ferry, if you can avoid that turnaround by making some decisions, I think that would work pretty good. How does that sound to people?
I'm wondering if that couldn't be part of the alert system. We get a number of alerts, and those also show up on the Anderson Island assistant.
Well, fortunately, when we come up there, we have my wife has the smartphone, so she looks at stuff while I'm driving. But a driver by themselves, they may be able to do that, or they may not log on to the ferry website or whatever. But if they just had that, I better make a turn here, you know, type thing, it'd be kind of helpful. And so many people wait. If there's an overload, they're, what's going on? You know, where's the ferry and all this kind of stuff? And there's all this chitter chatter up and down the line. If they could just know that, hey, there's somebody had a gasoline can they weren't supposed to, or something, you know, whatever it is, and when the ferry would return to service. So,
how do you spell Kiwanis?
K-I-W-A-N-I-S.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Natalie's got the next question. Let me unmute her.
Yes. Are you there, Natalie?
Can you hear me now? Yes, I think so. This is Peter. I'm not Natalie, and I'm using her computer. I have a particular question for Toby in particular, because we haven't had a chance to talk with him. Toby.
Hold on. You asked me to get on. I'm on too.
I don't want you to be on right now. There we go. I think we fixed that problem. Toby, this is TIF money. It's all the TIF money. You've been allowed under the Memorandum of Understanding to spend all $400,000 of it on this project. It's difficult to understand how this meets TIF criteria. And so I'm curious about your input to the design. Did you indeed try to improve the access to the ferry loading lanes with this? Did you ask for larger radiuses, for more taking of property by the city of the town of Steilacoom to allow a better access for the loading lanes? The park is preserved largely. The businesses are preserved largely. I'm really curious what the county's position was on this.
Sure. Yeah. What we did was we conditioned the traffic impact fee money on two aspects, really, and that was closing Lafayette and closing of the one driveway. So that was really the thing that we were trying to accomplish, is the safety improvements and the capacity that we would have there. So that's what it was conditioned on. This was the county gave input to the town on the design, but we couldn't demand anything. I mean, it's like that wasn't our place, not our project. It's the town's project. We gave input on what we thought might be the impacts, and it was adjusted. The town did adjust the design based on the truck traffic and ability to get in and out of it. So I would say they listened, but again, it wasn't our place to exert any kind of undue pressure on the town, because again, we were given this. This was a county decision. It wasn't a department decision. It was a county's decision to use traffic impact fees for this purpose, and so that was approved by the council. So
the extent to which you have determined that this will add capacity to the ferry loading lanes is, by closing Lafayette and one private driveway, we will add six spaces to the queuing. Is that correct?
It's more like a dozen.
Okay, a dozen. But if I were to say to you that when we've looked at trying to improve ferry capacity over the years, we've realized that we have sufficient queuing lanes now. We can fill the third queuing lane only halfway and have those cars get onto the ferry. That's the limit. Adding an additional 12 lanes here and there isn't going to change the actual function of the ferry. And we began to be very skeptical of the ability to do anything further. If you want to improve the flow through of traffic, you improve the upper access to the ferry lanes, or you put a ticket office up there. So I'm very skeptical that this actually adds any function or any functional capacity. It might nominally add a parking space or 12. It strikes me as a very odd design as a way of terminating ferry loading lanes, where you restrict it to a single tight radius after another tight radius from the other direction. Can you tell me for sure that you will protect the ability of the county to get their road crews on island with a WD 67 truck? That is, will they be able and willing to drive over that curb routinely?
Well, we don't have any trucks that big, but we're not concerned about that. We believe we'll be able to continue to service like we always have. And we also know there's an ability, if we have super wide loads, to just, as Dave said, we can stage them early in the morning for the 4:45 run or whatever it is. We can stage them down at the ferry itself. So we're not concerned about that. The decision was made to apply funding for this purpose. And that was a council decision that was made at the time. And, I will defer you to questions in terms of that, to that decision. If you didn't think it was quite proper, then, you know, that to me was really a council decision that should have been brought up at the time. So
what you're saying is that the decision to commit the $400,000 in the memorandum of understanding was made prior to seeing the final design. And in fact, the council still hasn't reviewed the final design and made a decision that this does indeed improve ferry capacity. They haven't seen the final design until it was made final on what, November, December? They haven't reviewed it. Is that correct?
I'm not going to speak for the council. I don't know whether they've looked at it or not. I work for the executive. I work for the executive.
No, I asked the factual question. When was the memorandum of understanding signed committing us to this funding?
It was a couple of years ago.
We didn't have this final design in hand at the time.
Yeah, the MOU was finalized in late 2018. The final signature on it is January of 2019.
And we didn't have this design. You just retained Tammy. Tammy, yeah. Can we address the question of functionality of this? Is there, Tani, you said that you could get an ND50 through without mounting the curb. Anything else is going to mount one curb or another, or maybe both, or maybe go through the center of this intersection. Is that correct? I mean, I'm referring back to your presentation.
So that's not quite correct. I mean, in that those are mountable curbs and they will be able to ride up on them.
So does that meet WSDOT standards? Because that's one of the components. Go ahead.
Yes, it does.
The purpose of this part of the design is that it's called a truck apron. It is for the back part of the truck to mount up and make that turn. So that the WB50 will do that. And I think a WB62 can also get in here from Union, not from Rainier, but from Union by doing that. In that case, the tractor itself, the driver is going to drive up on this truck apron rather than just his trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've tried to figure out whether this is going to be a functional design idea. We've talked to Randall's, the gravel company. We've talked to several other suppliers and they said, well, we might be willing to do that, but you know, you could lose a tire if you get one wheel slightly off as you mount that curb. And it's, you know, a heavy, top heavy gravel truck is losing a tire in the middle of this intersection is going to make a very, very strong disincentive for the next gravel truck to plan on mounting it. I would like to have an independent reviewer say, yeah, this is going to work. And we don't have any way of getting that done. I wanted to ask a question about level of service, Mark.
Go back later, please.
It looked like the level of service for the difficult turn, which is Rainier left turn onto Union southbound, was 150 in just every design, including this one. Is that correct, or is one a better design than another? A stoplight gave about the same level of service of 150. I think that's 150 seconds. Is that right?
We're measuring level of service in A through F, so I'm not sure what 150 means.
Well, you showed on your diagram three turns for each option from each street, and each one had a small circle with a number in it. And I kept seeing 150 on the Rainier to Union southbound. That's the conflicting left turn that you're currently having a difficult time with.
I think that's just the peak volume of turns making that turn.
Yeah. Was the level of service F for all four directions, and also was it at all the time, or was it just during commute hours, and how much of the commute hour was it?
The level of service F was referring to Rainier Street. I think it may have also applied to Rainier Martin Street, but I'm not sure. It had to do with Rainier Street in the peak PM hour and at times when there was an accident on I-5 or ferries offloading.
So the worst case scenario was when I-5 was shut down and we had zero movement of any traffic anywhere. The roundabout wouldn't have helped with that. Why would the PM peak is how long and what times of day?
Tony, yeah. What's peak? Well, they're measured in terms of an hour.
I don't know if I have it handy, but it's something that we could give you.
But the fact of the matter is that this roundabout provides the best level of service for all legs of this intersection out of all the alternatives explored.
Well, except that yes, I see your argument. The question,
Peter, you've expended your 5 minutes. Can we move on to the next person?
I think that's going to be.
Kristen came back on, and she would like her time. Kristen, the board member.
Okay, let's do that. Kristen, go ahead. Are you there? Do you have your mic turned on?
It says she's on. Okay, well, we can just go to Amy, and when Heather's back, she'll let us know.
Kristen, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Amy, do you want to ask your own questions, or do you want me to read them?
Go ahead and read them, because I have to jump off for a Zoom at 7 o'clock, so.
Okay, she has three questions. One, will Toby be negotiating a kiosk at the top of the entry?
That's not part of this project. So if we do explore, we've talked about exploring it in the past, some sort of a ticket kiosk. We at least I've talked to my staff initially about maybe re-exploring that idea that we haven't talked about in a number of years now, but it would make sense, I think, to re-explore that. But it's not part of the town's contract at all. It'd be something that'd be done independently by Pierce County.
And question two, will there be data collected at the roundabout for traffic analysis?
I can answer that. And yes, it is. Both Union Avenue and Rainier Street are arterials and they're federally classified roadways. So we actually have to collect traffic data on those on an annual basis.
And Amy's third question was, will there be a traffic camera at the roundabout?
There is not one presently planned.
Okay, and Kristen wasn't able to unmute, and she asked, how does this project help island commuters?
The principal purpose behind this project was to provide enhancements to safety at this intersection, enhancements to mobility at this intersection, and the third leg is capacity. So I really don't have anything to add other than what Toby has explained and staff has explained in terms of capacity. But certainly the other two aspects of this project are important to the town as well.
And she asks again, wouldn't a stoplight do the same?
The stoplight could do similar, but it does not provide as high a level of service as a roundabout.
Okay, next up was Brian. He wrote a question. Brian, do you want to ask your question, or you want me to? I guess that means I'm going to. He wrote, will the design be posted online for the public to view and download? I realize the design details are still subject to change.
I would say not the actual design. This concept drawing is made available. The actual design drawings would be difficult to download, and I don't know that they would actually provide much benefit.
So the one we're looking at could be downloaded.
Oh yeah, could today.
Right.
Okay, the next question is from Glenn. Glenn, you're unmuted if you want to ask.
Yeah. Am I being heard?
Yes.
Okay. I just back, I think the design, as far as those kinds of things go, is quite nice. My question is, it gets back to this thing about spending TIF money for ferry capacity improvements. And it, somebody, you know, I think it was somebody from the county kind of made the point quite clearly that it kind of stretches the limits here a bit when, you know, adding ferry lane parking capacity is not adding to the ferry system capacity. You can just as easily wait for the ferry in the overload lanes as you can in the official parking lanes. So it sounds like it's a justification to spend our $400,000 when the purpose of the project to move traffic through the town, that's great. I mean, getting from UP to DuPont and vice versa, you know, putting in the roundabout, I guess, kind of makes sense.
Except it's a fender bender.
But to me, you're stretching it when you're saying this is, you know, to justify the TIF, the spending the TIF funds for this project you're kind of stretching it a bit. It's quite a bit, because it's not improving ferry capacity, the system capacity, one bit.
Can I add something?
Ellen, can I add something? I'm Glenn's wife.
Yes, you have 5 minutes together. I think you're probably down to like 1 minute, right, Dave?
Okay, are you done?
Yeah.
I'm done. My question is, all these crosswalks, all the crosswalks existed before, and one thing that Mark was saying is that because of this roundabout, they're going to be safer. And I'm just wondering if we're going to be looking at a lot of fender benders, because are these people that are crossing the street, are they going to be pushing a button that will tell them when to cross? I'm asking this of Mark.
Yes, they will. They're going to have rectangular rapid flashing beacons. And they will be pushing a button, and that will activate beacons that warn drivers that there's a pedestrian attempting to cross. You've probably seen those in other places as well.
So that's going to bring a car to a halt, right? Correct. So theoretically, somebody could be coming down towards the ferry line down Rainier Street, and they could stop because somebody's crossing, and then they get into the roundabout, and then if they perhaps are longer than a car, maybe they're pulling a boat, they get into the roundabout, and somebody's crossing right at the top of the ferry lane, which the ferry lane has now been shortened too, I noticed, but if it's going in a stops again. So literally, is it possible that somebody could stop, and if they've got a boat trailer or they're a truck, they're stopping the traffic in the roundabout because they're waiting for somebody to cross? And I'm not saying that
that's correct. That's what we're hoping correct. For.
So yeah. If you had a lot of activity as far as people coming and going across those crosswalks, you could really have a lot of fender benders going on through the course of a period of time. I don't think I've ever seen a roundabout placed in such an area with crosswalks so close to it, with a park on one side, with two businesses that rely on a lot of direct traffic going in and out. I don't think I've ever seen roundabouts like this, you know, and I've seen a lot of roundabouts, you know, and it just seems like it's a very, I agree it's a congested area. And one thing, everybody that knows in the U.S., people don't know how to drive in roundabouts here. And so I think it's going to be real interesting. I would think that the police force in Steilacoom is going to have to spend a lot of time trying to supervise this and figure out how people are going to get used to driving through here, because it just looks like a real mishmash to me.
Well, I guess I'll take that under advisement. This is certainly a unique intersection. There's no doubt about it.
Have you guys ever looked at any kind of plans that have been at the top of a ferry terminal or something like that?
The nearest roundabout that's at the top of ferry loading lines, I just looked at this weekend.
Where was that at?
Point Defiance.
Point Defiance? They have a roundabout at the top of their ferry lane?
They do.
It's this before they enter the ferry lanes, though, right?
Yes, it is. And that's
the closest one. It's at the park entrance and the ferry lanes and the main streets.
It's the closest one I could find to this situation. This is definitely a unique situation.
Yeah, I don't think
I don't know if we're going to find a comparable.
Yeah, the one that you're talking about is pretty spread out, and it's pretty it's larger than this, isn't it?
It's similar dimensions.
Oh, it is. That's surprising.
Yeah, they've got a little more real estate to work with there.
Yeah, a lot. But, Glenn, did you have any more questions? Yeah, I just want to second it. I mean, on the one hand, you know, maybe I hope for everybody's benefit, it's going to work and it's going to work for everybody. I have my major doubts, and I was really offended to think, I mean, you know, professionally, you would have thought that there would have been more effort by this town of Steilacoom and especially the county to be on top of the use of these funds for the island, for the benefit of the island. I mean, somebody said that they were cutting off Lafayette and that was going to really help from people entering the ferry line going the wrong way. They don't enter it off Lafayette. They enter it off the street down below. I mean, my husband and I have sat in that ferry line for 25 years and we've watched people come in, and they mainly come in from the street that's the closest to the ferry going the wrong way. So Lafayette, you know, it might benefit the people of Lafayette having less traffic. I don't know, but I'm not real excited about this, especially this construction going on during the summer when it's really going to be a mess. So I guess we're done with our time, Ellen.
Thank you.
Okay, next is John Johansson. If you're still here, I will allow you to talk. Okay, John Johansson, you're permitted to talk.
Yes, yes. First of all, thank you, Tony, for a wonderful illustration of certain vehicle sizes and what they will or won't do in terms of this turn. My very first question, now that I'm using Google Maps, and interesting, if you go to satellite view, you'll actually see one of the worst case scenarios of summer congestions. In fact, the overflow parking goes all the way past 4th Street, not just 7th that you're talking about adding pavement. So looking at the amount of vehicles, which I guess the loading line started about right in the middle of the park, you're actually taking away about 12 spots or 14 if you look at lane 2 and 3 that you actually had a little bit lower. And I don't think Lafayette is going to get you the delta. So and back to what Peter mentioned in, you know, you're going to get lane 1, lane 2, and 8 to 10 vehicles a lane 3, the ferry's full. So in use of TIF funds, this isn't really going to increase any capacity whatsoever. And secondly, we can't stage semi-trucks down below the ferry loading lines because there's a paid parking area there. There's an entrance and exit. We can't block that. Commuters use that all the time. So, just be careful where we want to put vehicles. Let's see what else. The overflow parking, I mentioned that. And so the final one is traffic flow from the ferry going both in Commerce, I think, which goes to Chambers, and then Rainier, which goes to Steilacoom Southwest. Now, we used to, most of the traffic comes off of the ferry and they hang that left on the Rainier Street. Now we're having them basically Martin, Union, and then Rainier. So really, you're increasing the hazards for the people leaving the ferry, you know, quite a bit, because they have to enter that roundabout and deal with potentially 3 other entrances and people not yielding before they get onto Rainier and on their way. So just be aware that from a traffic pattern standpoint, we've added a degree of risk, in my humble opinion. So that's about it. That's all I have.
Okay, Ron Lucas is going to be next.
Hi, how are you tonight? My name's Ron Lucas, and I've been the elected mayor in Steilacoom for more than 20 years. Toby, first of all, good to see you. We have worked together for a long time. I heard 2 issues tonight, You can be assured when the coordination is made out on Anderson Island about the paving project, we would welcome how we can help both with cars on this side of the sound during that time and helping you get the right vehicles out there at the right time. We'll be happy to do that. The second thing is, everybody seems to be concerned about this vehicle size 67. My understanding is that one comes a month. And if that's the case, it would behoove all of us to coordinate with the ferry so they know it's coming. We can then hook in with them and make sure with traffic control by police, get it down safely, ready to load. The next item has to do with this capacity point. Next year, we'll do Rainier Street at our expense. Well, in fact, there's a grant that we received to redo that road. The year after that, we're doing Old Military Road, going from north to south. And we're doing Rigney Road with enhancements for curb, gutter, sidewalk for pedestrians. And then we have set aside $1.7 million to rebuild Martin Street. I have always counted the work that we're going to do in the short run with this project, and what we may do in the long run is adding also capacity to Anderson Island. And I would just like to emphasize that if I could. Now, we are 2 weeks away from probably going to bid. If Representative Hitchens is going to do something with this, with the county council, she needs to hurry up because then the town has several options. We can build it without the TIF money and not build Martin Street for any overflow. We could do nothing and not do anything on Martin Street for a while. So this seems to be a concern that something might happen here in the next 2 weeks. And if that's the case, let's face it early on, and then I and the council will make a decision on what we're going to go do down the road. But Mark laid out exactly, I've been working on this since 2014. I'm on the executive and the technical committee for the $700 million I-5 JBLM project. There are certain things about mobility and so forth that we're looking to go do. We have been a good partner with the county. We'd like them to be with us. If they're not with us, we've got other options that I would be looking to craft and talk to the council about. And we can simply move that money, if need be, to our own internal use where we don't have grant funding. But there seems to be this movement because this is the fifth briefing with Representative Hitchens since the first week in February on this project. So I await somewhere in the next day or two, whatever people may want to go do, and then we'll have the ability to react and go somewhere else, and we can put this on the shelf, or we can build it ourselves and not build Martin Street is another option, and prepared to do that. Thanks very much. Dave, you ran a very good meeting tonight. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Nori's next. Let me find her. Okay. Nori, you are permitted to talk. Should I go to the next person, Dave, since Nori's not there?
Let's ask her one more time.
Nori, you are unmuted.
I go to somebody else and maybe come back to her.
Okay, next up is Colleen.
Nori is a he, by the way.
Oh, sorry. I have a friend named Nori and she's a she. But Nori's still not answering.
Okay. You can come back to Nori. Start with somebody else.
Okay, we'll go to Colleen. Let me find you. Okay, Colleen.
Okay, you can hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to right up front admit that you know, roundabouts are the enemy of me. I can't seem to figure them out. Although this one looks pretty simple. The ones with two lanes going around are just blow my mind. But I just had a couple questions. I'm assuming the only lane that's going from Union onto Rainier Street has a yield sign. Is that correct?
Okay. Correct. Yeah, that's the only free right turn.
Free right, but still yield to traffic in the circle.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and it's then, got a designated, I should add that, so northbound Union onto Rainier Street has it's dedicated lane.
Right, but it looks like you're still merging into a single lane on Rainier. Oh,
so yes, yes. So yes, there's still
traffic exiting the ferry would be, you know, pretty steady.
Yeah.
And gotcha. Unless there was a yield that could.
Yeah, there will be a yield there and it's going to stack up.
Okay. Another question I have is frequently in the summer, you're heading to the ferry, you're coming down Rainier, and you pull into the ferry lanes, which have a very wide opening at this point, and oops, they're full. So then you got to back up and head down Martin. This looks like there's, even when you expand it, the entrance to the ferry lanes a little bit, looks like that's going to create a little problem because you're going to back up and run into the traffic, you know, heading from Union and the traffic already in the circle. So I'm wondering if there's a way to put some kind of an electronic sign on Union, on Rainier that says ferry lanes full, head to overflow or something like that. So you don't even start to pull into that area and have to maneuver your way out.
Well, one of the benefits we're seeing with the traffic, the roundabout design is that you will be able to witness that the lanes are full and continue around the roundabout.
That's what I was thinking. Stopping
and backing up.
That's what I was thinking.
So I think that's actually going to help with that maneuver that you just described. Then once you go around the roundabout, keep going around the roundabout, you'll head back down southbound Union Avenue. And there'll be signage to direct you around the block and into the holding lane.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. All right. Well, that's wishful thinking that nobody's going to get stuck there doing a 10-point turn to get back onto traffic. But all right. I guess that's my other comment is that I kind of agree that the TIF money might be better spent towards additional parking for walk-ons. That would increase capacity on the ferry. If you can have parking on both sides and leave one car here, but I'm retired, so I no longer have to deal with that. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, Dave, if I could, I would just add that, yes, this is gonna be a partnership, not only in this project, but beyond this project between Pierce County and the town. I think it's always been a partnership. In that we're going to have to work together to avoid some of the issues that I'm hearing tonight, even after the installation of the roundabout. I don't think that this is going to be the cure-all for all of these situations. But I am confident that, as we have in the past, the county and the town will work together to try to make both the ferry operation and mobility and safety of this area important.
Okay, we have two people left unless Nori wants to try and talk again.
Nori, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there he is.
There you are.
Yes.
Hi, Nori.
Okay, thank you. I don't get any images, but I can probably at least talk. One question I have, how do we scrap this project? Because this is
how do we what? Also,
how can we scrap this miserable project? What are the procedures? This is really bad idea, bad location, and it's really choking the ferry lanes. It really bad misuse of the funds. Please, somebody tell us how to scrap this project.
I can answer from the town's perspective. This is a funded project, so we're going to proceed with this project. I'm pretty confident in that. The council has already authorized the funds, the local funds necessary to complete this project. The Transportation Improvement Board has provided us with grant funding, and the county has partnered with us. So this is a town project, and this has been on our transportation improvement program for a long, long time. And we've been able to finally cobble together the funding for it. The project is contained wholly within town-owned and town-controlled right-of-way. And so unless the town council were to scrap this project, as a staff member, I'm committed to build it.
Somebody mentioned that you guys can do this without TIF money. Also, nobody has mentioned to make this rotary a little more practical size. Example being the double lane rotary. This is only a single lane, as someone mentioned. If there are people on the sidewalk, crosswalk, any place, it's going to completely stop the entire flow. There are so many flows on this project. This is amazing that real engineer involved in such a project.
Should we go to the next question then, Dave?
Nori, are you done?
Yes, I'm here, but I still would like to hear that question about how do we go about stopping this whole project? This only gives so much problem to the ferry users.
That's a rhetorical question that would have to be answered by somebody else, not at this meeting.
Question about the procedure only.
Right.
It's a simple question.
Okay, let's move on.
Nope. Okay, we have two more people. We have Karen, and then we have Natalie. So let me get
Karen. Go ahead, Karen.
Okay, Karen, you're on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. First question I have is, we know cyclists, town of Steilacoom understands, especially in the summer, a lot of cyclists flowing through town, coming down DuPont from DuPont. Are there bike lanes in this? I haven't quite been able to ascertain that.
Tawny, do you want to talk about the considerations for the bicyclists? I think you're muted.
Try it again. Okay. So as you said, there are bicycle lanes as you come down Union towards town. And so what we've got here is a ramp so that some bicyclists, if they'd like, can get up onto the sidewalk, and then they would use the sidewalk, hopefully walking their bikes to cross somewhere. But most bicyclists that are better than me, they just prefer to go into the traffic and they use the roundabout with the vehicles. Because remember, these roundabouts are designed to control the speed of vehicles using the intersection. So vehicles will not be able to go 50 miles an hour through this intersection. another thing, I guess, that I think that we haven't really talked about is there is a crisscross kind of head-on bad traffic situation that exists at this intersection now. Do you want to talk about that, Mark, that this roundabout prevents?
Yeah, I can. I mean, basically, I think everybody's pretty much aware of what happens to when vehicles come down Union Avenue and they cross into the opposing lane of traffic, head-on condition, to get into the ferry lanes. It seems to happen. It seems to happen, especially when people are late.
Can I just interrupt?
Nope. This roundabout is is designed to prevent that movement from occurring. And that's one of the principal reasons behind this project.
But yeah, I'm sorry, but I didn't finish about the bicycles. So we looked at, like, is the town ever going to have bicycle lanes up Rainier? And it didn't sound like that was in their plans from what I understand. But that's something that we looked at, because then we would have to widen these approaches if that was the case. So that the basically the bicycle lane will terminate as it does today on Union as it approaches the intersection. But there are accommodations.
I would make a request that as is done in Lakewood, in areas where you share a lane with cars, that somehow that paint, that overlay marking, I guess you guys call it in traffic business, the marking that shows that gives a heads up to drivers in vehicles that they're sharing that space with cyclists. So that's just a suggestion.
Yeah,
another question I have is, Tanny, in terms of your design experience, is this the kind of roundabout that would get used in a mixed residential or residential area, or is it really represent a more arterial, major arterial situation? Because it seems like a mixture of uses almost to me. The stuff that's coming in from DuPont, that flow, especially when the fort lets out, feels like a real major arterial. But then we have these small businesses, the park. I can see why keeping scale smaller would make sense for that. But because of the amount of traffic, it feels more like an arterial. So it almost feels like we're trying to address a mixed residential kind of roundabout situation for a road that feels more like an major arterial. So I think that's part of people's concerns emerges from, it's just such a curious intersection and a blend of uses. I don't know if Representative or Council Member Hitchens is still on the call, but I guess I would just say and I know Mayor Lucas spoke to this, but if there's a sense of surprise on the part of Islanders, I would say this is a heads up to why constituent communication about projects early on and where funding is going is so important. Because I don't think we should be in a position right now where we are surprised to learn that all our TIF money is going into a project, I don't know, 25% of the total budget, 20, 25, 30, I'm not sure. All the Islanders' TIF money going into 12 parking spaces and some improvements. I think that's where the sense of surprise comes in, because we're 2 weeks out from bid and all of a sudden we're like, what the heck's going on? Now, some people came to meetings earlier in the last few months, but I bet for the majority of Islanders, understanding anything A about TIF monies is like, what? And two, that these changes in capacity are so small relative to this crucial pot of money that we have at our access. So that's really not a question. It's a soapbox moment. So thank you very much for everyone who presented. I really appreciate it. It really helped my understanding of the situation.
Thank you.
And last up, since Peter took Natalie's time, Natalie wanted to ask a question herself.
Okay.
And this will be our last question from the
citizens.
Attendee. Okay, Natalie, you're on.
Thank you. And thanks all of my fellow Anderson Islanders for showing up and expressing your concerns and your interest in this project. I would like to focus on something Toby said. He said that it was a county council decision, not a department decision. Toby, I'd like to know, first of all, when was that decision made?
2018.
What was the forum in which the decision was made?
I think we'd have to go back and find that out. I think if you look back, I want to remember that there was some, when we were developing the updating the traffic impact fee program, I want to say it was about the same time frame that the Former council member Richardson wanted this project added specifically is what I remember, but we'd have to go back and look at all the notes and the conversations about when that all occurred. But it was a couple of years ago, or like say in 2018 is what I recall.
And where has it been documented, the discussion and the logic behind the decision? Where is that documented?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
It would have to be in council.
Dave, this is not your meeting. This is not your question. I'm asking Toby. Thank you.
Yeah, you'd have to go back and, go through the, maybe make a public records request or something like that to council and see.
Okay, I would like to informally request of Jani that you find that information for all of us. I think it's extremely relevant. We have not heard a justification. We have heard from Toby that this was a county council decision, not a department decision. We have heard that it was a very weak argument for TIF money. All right, that was my first thing. Dave, when this decision was made in 2018, was there an ACAB review?
No.
Thank you. Okay, Dave, I see that you're recording the meeting. I really appreciate that. Will there be a public record of this recording available?
If anybody wants it, they can ask me for a copy of it.
Okay, I am asking you for a copy of it. Thank you. Mark, the total cost of this project is what?
The latest cost estimate is $1.741 million.
Okay, thank you. $1.74 million. $700,000 is coming from the state. $400,000 is coming from Anderson Island TIF. And the remainder is coming from Steilacoom. Is that correct?
Well, the numbers are a little bit off. We're actually getting about $720,000 from the TIB, the Transportation Improvement Board. The county share is only listed at, I believe, 300,000. Let's see. About 300,000, maybe 350. It could be more, but I don't think that's in the works right now. And the rest is all local funding.
Thank you. Toby and Jani, I have a question. The MOU is not signed by the county council. It is signed by the executive. Is that normal process?
Yeah, anytime there's anything implemented associated with it, it's always the county executive that signs interlocal agreements.
Okay, thank you. And thank you very much, Dave and Ellen and the ACAB for hosting this meeting. It was extremely informative. And otherwise, I'm done.
Wait, I want to ask you.
Who is that? Somebody got cut off.
That was Peter got cut off. Should I put them back on?
Sure.
I think it was Peter. So give me one second, Peter. Okay, you're back.
Okay, Mark, I'm really interested in the basic motivation for the design and the compromises made here. You said safety, particularly pedestrian and the cross traffic safety issue. There was a record, obviously, of the number of accidents that have occurred here and incidents. You have a record from the police department of how many pedestrians were inconvenienced or hit, and also how many cars were involved in an accident here. Can you give us that number?
You're muted, Mark.
Sorry about that. I don't have that information right in front of me.
But it's available to us. Can you make sure we get it?
WashDOT has accident data available online.
And the town of Steilacoom. So you know there's a safety issue, but you don't know how much of a safety issue.
We know, yeah. Yes, okay. That's correct. We know it's a safety issue. That's been well versed and documented. Plenty of people have come to the town council and other forums to express that.
Sure.
Whether it's empirical or numerical, the issues exist.
You said that the level of service F, which is another motivating factor for designing and building this improvement, is confined to the PM peak. What is the level of service during the AM and the rest of the day? What percentage of the time is this at level of service F?
It varies.
What percentage, in your opinion, is it at level service F?
Oh, I don't make opinions on level of service.
You designed this to address a level of service F. Is it confined to the PM peak?
Peter, we're not going to... Peter,
well, I'm not going to debate with you. This project debating. Is moving forward.
It's a reasonable question.
The impetus behind this project has been vetted in the past.
So you're,
I'm not going to revisit that. I know what this is proposed to provide in terms of level of service versus what we have right now, and that's what we're here to solve.
What is the level of service we have right now?
I went over that in the slide presentation earlier tonight.
So my understanding of what you said is level of service F is confined to the PM peak and when I-5 is completely shut down.
Peter, we're not going to debate here tonight.
I'm not going to debate.
I'm not debating. I'm asking. I asked for safety data. You said it's not available. It wasn't part of the decision. We don't have it.
No, Peter, you're arguing, and we're done at this point in time with that.
I'm sorry.
Ellen?
Yes.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be on there anymore if he's going to keep that up.
No, he's not.
Okay. All right. I think we've done it. I would ask one of the council, Danny, would you like to close us up?
Alice is on here from the executive's office, and she wanted to just give a quick update on some information that's going to be coming out. At least she was on.
I just allowed her to talk.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, yes, Alice.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me, and thank you, Councilmember Hitchens. So yes, the county, actually tomorrow, you will see on all the regular website and social media an infographic that our Public Works Department put together talking about all the other projects besides this. I know some of those questions came up tonight, so I want to let you know that. And then there will be a separate piece created specifically to this project to keep Islanders informed and give you the links to where you can follow the project as it moves forward. So look for that later this week. It's still being designed, but we'll get that to you for sure. And then just to reiterate some of the things that were covered today, I think Mark did a great job and Tony, of course, talking about the history of this project and the way it's gonna be a huge benefit, I think, both to the town and to the Islanders and to the guests of both places. It's improving public safety, increasing capacity, and it's a well-designed, thoughtful design that will, I think, benefit everyone who's using it. So stand ready for any questions if you have it.
Thank you,
Alice. So the biggest thing, and I think one of the things as I interact with different organizations and I interact with different governments, local governments, and even the staff at Pierce County. I am a former teacher. Maybe I'll be a teacher again someday. I am all about communication. And when I heard that this was happening and Anderson Island folks didn't really feel like they knew what was going on and they were sharing their concerns and their questions, raised red flags for me, like people having to drive the wrong way on a roundabout and just things. I just had so many questions. So we met and we kind of circled up and talked through what was going on. And I said, people at Anderson Island need to hear this information and feel heard and be able to raise their questions. And I wanted to have the people with the expert answers here at this meeting. So first off, thank you everybody, both from the people on Anderson Island who came and asked their great questions,
Toby, thank you for coming and being a voice. Mark, thank you for your patience and going through the details. And Tawny, thank you very much. And I know there's still questions out there, and I know there's still frustrations. And I have several people who have tasked me with things to look into. I heard them, and I will start working on them when we get to the office tomorrow. The questions that I have down, just to clarify, is finding about safety data, wondering about that, wanting to find any documentation from the meeting that happened in 2018, and to ask some questions about possible parking. And that may be not happening right now, but it's a conversation to have so that we can increase capacity. If there are other questions that people had for me or ideas that they had that will help make this project go well and smoothly, or concerns that you have that were not addressed, please feel free to reach out to my office, and I will find the experts in at the county office or at the city to get your questions answered. We want to be partners. We want to be good stewards of your money. And I think a lot of the frustration really comes down to, I think that between the changes in county council from one group to another, and, you know, a pandemic, there was some communication that just did not happen that I really believe should have happened. And I think might have avoided this sense of frustration and panic. So please, again, I'm going to ask people to reach out with questions directly to me if you have them, and then I can facilitate some answers. But if one of the three things that I mentioned is something beyond that, please feel free again to comment. So I'm going to throw my email in the chat, and it should go to everyone. And somebody yell at me on the county if I did that wrong. I'm still remembering my handle there. So, but I just really appreciate everybody spending 2.5 hours tonight. And some of you started a little bit earlier. So I appreciate you being here and sticking with it. And hopefully everybody maybe still has questions, but a little bit of a sigh of relief, grab some dinner or something more enjoyable, and we'll go from there.
I would like to thank you, Jenny, for all of your help in getting this together. Mark, you did a wonderful job as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, and Tawny, and Toby, good job. Thank you.
If we have two hands up, one by Wade and one by Alice, do you want to let them have a comment?
One by Wade and one by Alice?
Yes.
Go ahead, Wade.
You're okay, muted. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've been having, as always, I have trouble with my connection here on these Zoom meetings. So sometimes I miss entire conversations. So I just wanted to know, the FIT money that they were talking about, if that, I mean, like, this roundabout is a silicon issue. It really doesn't have that much effect on us. So how come the monies are coming under the banner of Anderson Island ferry, improvements? If it has no effect on us. Did that make any sense at all, or did I not broadcast?
It did, and that question has been asked a number of times, and it's at this point a rhetorical question. I think.
Oh, I know the thing's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. That's not the issue.
I get it. That question has been asked several different ways by several different people, and it's a reasonable question to ask. I don't know that we can get an answer to it from anybody that's here at this point.
Well, because I'm there going, if that money is available, I sure would like to have a say in how it's spent for the island. I mean, like, we could use it for everything from fire department to street signs to pigeon houses,
it's, it's not that kind of money, in my understanding.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Wade. Alice, did you have something else you wanted to add?
I just wanted to echo the comments of both Jannie and yourself, Dave, thanking the staff that was on here tonight, particularly the town. I want to thank Mark and Paul, and of course, Tony for joining on here. They've been partners throughout this entire process. This has been a project that's been discussed since I joined the county when almost 9 years ago. So I'm glad that it's kind of coming to fruition, and I appreciate the town's partnership on this and the skin in the game that they have, especially financially, into improving this area. So thank you, Mark.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
It looks like Heather might have a comment too.
I just wanted to thank Mark for all of his communication. He's been great working with us. Tani, thank you for the drawings and the information. Of course, if we can get that out to Islanders. Town of Steilacoom has been great working with us. We happen to come through your town like a lot of other people. And so we appreciate you taking your time out of your lives to share this information. It's different, it's a change. People are gonna have to get used to it and may not like it. But you know, I think the overall 140 days are worth it for the overall safety of the community. So thank you very much for all your help coordinating this.
Thank you.
Well said. And I'll still entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn. Oh, and I second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Everyone, be safe.